All right, I need to give out some scriptures real quick to help me get this done. How many of you'd like me to get done as quick as possible? Christy Windhorst raised her hand before I was even done with the question. Man, Christy.
I thought other people were going to get in on that.
Well, the other people here love being at church, love Jesus, you know. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, we're praying for you. It was a sweet time with Stephen Sunday night. And, of course, he is now in California. Got his head shaved today, I understand, so... we're already missing him, but have you cried some? Have you already had some tears? You fixing to cry right now? So she's like, cut, move on. Oh, man, Stephen, great kid. We're sure proud of him. Great young man, and I'm sure he'll do really well there. All righty, I need to give out some scriptures. If you got your King James Bible and you don't mind reading, raise your hand. I've got some that'll help me out. Raise your hand right over here. Brother J.D., Psalms 34:8. Psalms 34:8, that's going to be yours. All right, who else? Right over there, Miss Carol, Psalms 145:9. Psalms 145:9. Miss Linda, this one's going to be in the clean part of your Bible. I'm going to give you a little time to find it. Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 24. Lamentations, yes, that is actually in the Bible. They're like, that's not in the Bible. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. All righty, I need another one. Who else got it? Right here. All righty, Matthew 7:8-11. Matthew 7:8-11. I need a few more here. Right over here. All right. You want a short one? All righty. Psalms 145:16. Miss Lisa. 145:16. Psalms 145:16. I need another. Miss Christy Riggs. Matthew 5:45. Matthew 5:45. All righty. And let's see how many more I've got. All right. Who else? Russ, James 1:17. James 1:17. Who else? Christy Windhorst, Philippians 4:19. Who else has got their Bible? Doesn't mind reading. Or if you've already signed up for one, you don't mind getting another one. Brother J.D. King, Ecclesiastes 5:13-20. It's kind of a long one. Ecclesiastes 5:13-20. All right. Who wants Matthew 6:11? Right over here. All right. Miss Taylor, Matthew 6:11. And who wants 2 Corinthians 9:6-11? Right over here, Liza. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. When I'm ready for these, they'll go quick. You guys know how I do it. Just speeds it along. And let me give out two more here. I need two more. Brother Stevens, Proverbs 11:24-25. And... let's see here. I need one more. Who else got it? Who's got one more in them? Yeah, Brother Stevens, go ahead and take Ephesians 2:9. Okay. All righty. And everybody, if you will turn to the John chapter 3. That'll be our lead-off verse for tonight. We're talking about growing through giving, and this will be my final message on this. We'll be moving on. We do it through the month of January. Talk about some stewardship and the stewardship emphasis month, kicking off our year, getting it on the right foot here. But tonight's lesson is seeing the goodness of God in God's generosity. We have a generous God. We see the goodness of God in the fact that God likes to give. Did you know that God's a giver? He likes to give, and it's his good nature that makes him want to give. And we're going to look at some things tonight as we look at that topic. We're going to see the goodness of God through God's generosity. A lot of people don't acknowledge that. They don't acknowledge God's generosity. They don't see where God's at work in their life or giving to them or doing things for them. Often they see blessings as coincidental. They see all of the blessings of their life as being earned by their hand or the sweat of their brow. They do not often acknowledge the handiwork of God in the good life that they have or the things that are good in their life. And so we want to take a minute and acknowledge that. And let's take a minute. I'm going to give you this verse. John 3, the most famous verse in all the Bible. Who thinks you know what it is? John 3:16. It says this, for God so, I love that the word so is there. Wasn't enough to say for God loved the world, but for God so. What an emphasis there. For God so loved the world that he gave, if you have your pen underlined, the word gave there, that he gave his only begotten son. I would say that's a pretty big gift, amen?
Yeah.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see that God loved us, and that love motivated him to give to us the most precious gift that a man can give. He gave his only son. And why? So that we could not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his son in his generosity and in his love to redeem us. We see in verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We see in that verse a great example of the giving nature of God because of the goodness of God. God was good to each of us to redeem us, to save us, to bring us from our sins to a place of salvation. Now, who has Psalms 34:8? Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And because he's good, you can trust in him. We have a God that's good, and that goodness causes him to give. And that giving nature of God is a blessing to us. And the psalmist is wanting us to understand the good nature of God. Who has Psalms 145:9? Where we see it declared, the Lord is good to all. You know that, we'll get to this in a minute, but God is not just good to people who are good to him. Isn't that amazing? Before you ever knew God, before you ever called out to him as your Savior, you were already under the goodness of God. You had already experienced the goodness of God. So in the study of stewardship, a child of God has to establish this basic truth in his life. There are people who are always angry and bitter at the topics of stewardship, this idea of giving. They're always mad about it, always up in the air over it. They're always bitter about it, and often even it's what keeps them from going to church, attending church. It's what keeps them from being around a church crowd. It's this idea of giving. But in the basic study of stewardship, when you establish this one basic truth, you will truly become that cheerful giver that pleases God. What is that basic truth? Here it is. Here's the basic truth. Once you establish this, you'll never be angry at the idea of giving to God. Here it is. God is good. Amen. Now, once you establish that, once you establish in your life and in your heart the principle that God is good, God has been good to me. His goodness is displayed all through my life. You will never be angry at the idea of giving God an offering or helping the work of God through giving, whatever the type is, whether it be your time, your talent, or out of your treasury. We know that God is good. He is good in his nature. He is good at what he does. I love to read the book of Genesis when he's creating the earth. Everything he created, he looked at and said, "It is good." And it was good in the function that he created it for, but it was also good in that it functioned as he designed it. Isn't that amazing? You ever study the human body and see how complex it is? It's complex. You study biology. You understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by a hand of God who is good at what he does. And he created all things, every creature on this planet. The things that walk on the earth, the things that crawl in the earth, the things that creep on the earth. The imagination, the hand of God created those things, and they all serve a purpose in his plan. And he's good at what he does. He created an earth that functions. He created a sun that shines. If it had been any further away, we'd have froze. Any closer, we'd have baked. God put it right where you want it to be because he's good at what he does. God is good in his desires. Did you know that God has a good desire towards you? God wants good for you. God wants to do good by you. God wants to do good things for you. God would much rather do good things for you than to have to chasten you or punish you. God would much rather bless your life than to punish your life. Man, given his choice, he'd choose it 10 to 1 over the other. He's good in his desires towards you. And we know that he is truly good to us. Who has Lamentations 3, 22 through 24? I believe that's you, Miss Linda. Listen to the words of this out of Lamentations.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him.
What a wonderful set of verses there. Yeah. The author is saying, hey, if it weren't for God's graciousness, we'd all be destroyed. Wouldn't make it a day. And he says his mercies are new every morning. Every morning we wake up to a new display of God's goodness that's fresh every day. And he went on to talk about how the Lord takes care of him, gives him his portion in the living. We see that God is good to you. The question is, do you acknowledge it? Do you understand that God is good to you? Do you understand that every morning you wake up, God has been good to you to give you another morning, another day? God has given you blessings in each day. We see that God is good. He gives you provision to make it through each day, the grace to handle every day. That is all from God. Those are gifts from God, his goodness. So we see this. We see that God is good. We know that God is good to the righteous. We just saw an example in a verse. Let's look at another verse that points out God's goodness to the righteous. Matthew 7, 8 through 11. Who has that one? This states that God is good to those that love him. Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful set of verses there as well about the goodness of God. You know, God's a good father. And he uses an illustration. What dad in the room, if your son came to you and said, Dad, I need bread, you know, would give him a stone. Or, Dad, I need fish, would give him a serpent. He's talking about the goodness of a father. And he said, if earthly fathers, you know how to do this, how much more is your heavenly father going to do good things for his children? Do you know when you're born again, you're a child of God? You're a child of God and you have a good father that wants to help you and be there for you. I think about, as I was growing up, the times, looking back on it, that my father was there. You know, a lot of times you can look back and think you did everything on your own, but the reality is my dad helped me a lot. Now, he didn't help me so much that, I like that guy that made the statement, we should help our kids enough that they can have a life, but not so much that they never need to have a life. I don't believe we ought to do everything for him, but my dad was there when I needed him. There are examples I can give. Time won't permit it, but there were so many times that his goodness to me at times of need helped me out, especially going through college and all those years when I just often found myself in messes, cars broke down or whatever, where dad would help me. Well, the Lord, he is saying that how much he would help his children when they ask him. God is good to his children. He is good to the righteous. But you know, let me add to it, God is good to those that are not good to him. God is good to those who don't pray and praise and seek him and accept Jesus. God is good to all people. Who has Psalms 145, verse 16? Psalms 145, verse 16. Listen to this verse. We see that God fulfills the desire of every living thing. Did you know that the atheist who does not give one praise to God had food in his belly today? Probably slept under a roof during this cold. Had a warm bed, warm house. God is good to every living thing. God provides grass for the grass-eating animals. He provides water for the fish. Provides food for every, there's that chain of food that they talk about on the nature channels, the food chain. That's God providing for every living thing. God provides for you. He provides for those who praise him. He provides for those who ignore him. Who has Matthew 5:45? Matthew 5:45.
That you may be the children of your Father, That's a very well-known scripture, but you see the reality of that. God is saying that I send rain to water the garden of those who prayed and praised me, but I also water the neighbor in his garden who has no love for me at all. I allow the sun to shine on that man who curses me and warm him, as well as I allow it to shine on those who worship me. That's the goodness of God to all people. God is good, not just to his children. He's very good to his children, but God's good to all people. God is good, and his nature is good. And once we understand this, we understand that in his good nature, God gives, and he's compelled to give and to do and to provide, and it's all because he is good. And once we understand this, we won't struggle with this stuff. Now, as it pertains to stewardship, let me declare these final truths about the goodness of God's generosity. Statement number one, God always gives first. Everything that you have started with God giving to you first. God started out by giving you your first breath. God started out by giving you your first heartbeat in your mother's womb. God always, everything in our life starts out with God giving. God gives first. He always gives first. Who has James 1:17?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
All right, we see every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. We see that everything we have comes from God above. Who has Philippians 4:19? Philippians 4:19, right there. Every need you have, when it is supplied, it is by the hand of God. It is God that supplies our needs. Who has Ecclesiastes 5:13-20? Right over there. Read it, Doc.
There's a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereafter their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth the son, and there's nothing in his hand. And he came forth of his mother's womb.
Amen. There was so much there, but we saw it very clearly taught, the giving hand of God on man, and that God gives to people, and he talks about this sore evil that people who receive but never give, and it's a reminder that God gives so that we can give, and that person who's miserly, you can see it drawn out there of how miserable they'll be. And he brings it back to everything that God's given to you, it's from the loving hand of God. And he wants you to also be a loving hand to others. So it's a great verse, great verse. So many lessons there, and it could go many different directions. God always gives first. Who has Matthew 6:11?
Give us this day our daily bread.
Simple verse. And that's a part of the model prayer. Some people incorrectly call that the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never actually prayed that. He taught on prayer, and that was a outline point in it. But he taught us that every day we wake up every morning and ask, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We understand that in that, we are to trust in the Lord for our daily provision. We are to seek the Lord daily to help us, to give us our needs. But yet we know that the Lord provides us our daily bread. And that's God giving first. It's God always providing. He always gives first. All right? So let's say that together. God always gives first. Say it.
God always gives first.
Do you understand that? I mean, do you accept that? Is there anybody who would like to debate that and say, no, everything I have, I didn't get it from God. I got it. I love that story of that scientist that challenged God. And it's a hypothetical story, but he said, anything you can do, we can do in a science lab. And he said, okay, I'll take you up on that challenge. He said, let's create life. And the scientist said, okay, I can create life. We know how to create a cell. So he got a bucket, and he got down on his knees, started scooping up a bunch of dirt. And God said, whoa, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, we got to have dirt to create the cell. He said, no, get your own dirt. Amen. God created man out of dirt, but before God created man, he created the dirt. Everything starts with God. Everything. Scientists don't create things, they discover things. They don't create radio waves, they discovered radio waves and microwave. All that came, it was there. God created it, they just found out how to use it. Everything in the world goes back to God. He always gives first. God, number two, you understand this, you'll be fine when you understand the goodness of God. God always gives back and gives back more than what was given to him. God always gives back and God always gives back more than what was given to him. That's that principle, you'll never outgive God. God always gives back, but he always gives more than what was given. 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. Who has that one? 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. There you go, Liza. Amen. Read that next verse there, number 10.
Now he that see to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causes thanksgiving to God.
Very good, very good. We see that the result of God blessing us is thanksgiving to God, but we see how God takes that seed and he multiplies it. You know, a farmer puts one seed in the ground, but doesn't just get one corn kernel back. God takes that seed that he planted and gives him ears of corn or stalks of beans. God always gives back to you more than you invest in him. And God always increases your investment. God always gives back more than what was given. He always gives back and he always does more than what you've ever given to him. That's just a fact. I read where J.J. Kraft, who was the head of Kraft Cheese Corporation, had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years. He made it a thing that he would give 25% of his yearly income to Christian ministries. He made this statement. He said this, quote, "The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I have given to the Lord," end of quote. J.D. Rockefeller, who was at one time the richest man in America, said this, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." Martin Luther, the reformist preacher, said this, "I have tried to keep things in my hands and lost them all. But what I have given into God's hands, I still possess." End of quote. Listen, God always gives back, and he always gives back more than what he was given. And if you'll understand that, you'll lock that down. You'll see the goodness of God. You'll trust in it. And you won't have a bitterness in your soul. You'll be a cheerful giver. Third quick thought here is God blesses his children for giving. God blesses his children for giving. Who has Proverbs 11, 24 and 25?
"There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than meat, that it tendeth to poverty.
Amen. That goes back to our conversation earlier. You know, fat is beautiful. Amen. It's godly. It's godly. Liberal souls shall be made fat. Eat those cookies, man. But the reality is, it's talking about prospered. The liberal, that's not talking about politics. That's talking about generous. And it says that generous soul shall be made prosperous. We see that God, and there's other verses. We didn't have time to look at them, but I had Proverbs 28, 27 and Matthew 26, 7 through 13. Those are wonderful verses that back up this principle that God blesses. It pleases God to see his children acting in his image in the area of giving and generosity. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that. I came across this story of a businessman who had started a business, and he had consulted with his pastor. W.A. Criswell tells this story that this man prayed. He prayed with him for God to bless his career. Now, at that time, he said that man was making $40 per week. And the man came to him and asked him to pray with him to increase his business. He was averaging $40 per week. And he was tithing $4 per week out of that at that time. Dr. Criswell says that in a few years, his income increased, and he was tithing $500 per week. So obviously, his business went up to his tithe matching it at $500 a week. He had prospered. During that time, he says, the man called on him to have a meeting where he asked him if he could be released from his tithing promise. He had gone from $4 a week tithes to now a tithe of $500 a week. Started out at $40 a week. Now his 10% is $500 a week. How many of you would say he was going the right direction? He was being prospered. But he asked the pastor if he could be released from that promise he made to tithe off of everything that he had. So the pastor replied, he said this, quote, "I don't see how you can be released from your promise. But we can ask God to reduce your income back to $40 a week. Then you'd have no problem tithing the $4 as you did before." Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I wonder, can you handle the testing of the blessing? Sometimes people can give when it's small, but they have a hard time when God starts blessing them. I hope you can pass the testing of God blessing your life. Now, lastly, God always gives last. God always gives first. How many of you believe that? But I want to also add that he always gives last. Do you realize the last thing that will ever happen to you is an act of God giving? How many of you believe in heaven? You believe there's a heaven awaiting the saints? What a great display of God's goodness and his generosity. Heaven and all of its glories will be the ultimate display of God's goodness and generosity towards man. Who has Ephesians 2:9? Our last verse. I don't think that was the verse I wanted.
It's a good blessing, though.
It is a good message.
It would be. I could preach a whole new message on that. I think I had more of that, and I think I accidentally didn't type in the whole thing. But in any case, we know this. The verse before that says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." How do you get a gift? Can you purchase a gift? Can you buy a gift? Would it cease to be a gift if you purchased it? So to get a gift, it has to be given by a giver. God says that you can't earn your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't do acts of righteousness or goodness. I was supposed to have you read the first verse. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The word boast means to brag or be lifted in their pride. We see that heaven and salvation is a gift from God, and it'll be the last gift you'll ever redeem as you pass from this life to the next. God has an eternal life that is gifted to you through the purchase of the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see that when this life is over, when we've given all that we had to give, God will still be giving to us the riches of his goodness. Do you understand that? How many of you believe that? Do you ever think about how beautiful heaven's really going to be? and how good the goodness of God made it. Do you know the Bible says in heaven we'll never grow old? That's a blessing, isn't it? How many of you are already experiencing the growing old thing? Bunions, bifocals.
Yeah.
It's going to be gone because God's good. Do you know the Bible says that in heaven all things are anew? It means perpetually new. Wouldn't you love to go back and taste chocolate again for the very first time? Or a ribeye? I'd love to go back and have a Giordano's pizza, experiencing it for the very first time. You know, in heaven, every morning you wake up, it'll be like you're seeing heaven for the very first time. Like you wake up. I don't even know if you ever sleep. But basically, heaven never gets old. It never gets old. Never gets mundane. Never gets boring. I don't know what we're going to eat in heaven. I hope there's going to be some Texas food. I'm hoping there's going to be some, you know, beans and cornbread. Amen. I'm hoping there's going to be, you know, some ribeye and some ribs. But, you know, donuts without fat. Glorified body, man. We can all tell Paul that, you know, it don't matter now. We can eat what we want in heaven. But everything, can you imagine everything you taste in heaven, you're going to be like, man, this is like, I don't even know what to describe it. It's like the first time I've ever tasted it. It's new. That's God's goodness. You didn't have to do that. Hey, everybody that's always mad about giving, it's because they don't understand that God is so good to you. And in his goodness, he gives to you. He gives first. He gives back more. You give him a little, he's constantly pouring on more, and you can't ever do more for him. Every day anew, he blesses you again. And the very last thing that you'll experience as a child of God is the ultimate gift of God. Something you can't earn. When you peer into heaven's horrors, only then will you realize the greatness of God's goodness in your life, the gift that he gave you. I hope you'll consider these things as you're trying to work out being a steward in your life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Amen. God is so good. I in preparing this, the words to this little song, little praise song, kept ringing in my ears, the words to this song. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never failed me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head down, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God, because all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. What a beautiful word. I hope you'll see the goodness of God and reflect that in your stewardship back to him. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to go to that heaven you talked about tonight. Would you pray for me? Preacher, I want to go to that heaven. I want to go. Would you pray for me? Amen. How many of you could say, preacher, the message was encouraging to me tonight. The thoughts that were there, I needed to hear them. Would you raise your hand tonight? It's just a witness. Good. I hope the Holy Spirit will use that in your thinking, your processing, as you wrestle with this idea of stewardship and what God wants you to do and what he wants you to give. I don't control what God tells you to give, but often that wrestling in your spirit between what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, it can sometimes be a hard fight. But when you remember that no matter what you do, God always does for you first, and he'll do for you last, and in the middle, you're never going to do more for him than he does for you. You'll be all right. You'll reason it out correctly. Dear Father, I didn't have anybody raise their hand that they were lost, or I would extend this invitation further. I have no reason to doubt that everybody in this room trusts you as their Savior. They've experienced that gift of salvation. What a great thing. Lord, tonight I've tried to be a faithful steward as a preacher, to deliver a faithful message, to speak on your behalf of your great riches and mercy and goodness. Lord, I pray that our church family will gather that in their heart. That it'll help them, Lord, to have the right perspective. Lord, I pray that we can be the kind of stewards. You said that it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Let us truly be faithful in our stewardship, our service to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all you truly have done. Now, Lord, we're going to come to you with some things that we need because you've told us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So we're going to do that in obedience to your word by bringing these prayer requests and some praises for prayers that have already been answered. And Lord, I pray that you'll open your ear to us and hear what we have to, what our needs are. We ask this in Jesus' name.